Hi, this is Alan Schimmel for another episode of Security EXE Special RSA Edition. Happy to be joined today by Chris Patterson, VP of Product Management at Navisight. Chris, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Chris. It's great to have you here. We are, of course, talking about RSA conference, which will be coming up next week. And I understand that Navisight will be exhibiting on the show floor as part of the partner pavilion from Alert Logic. Is that correct?
That is correct. We've had a long and illustrious partnership with Alert Logic. Great folks, great product. And when they asked us to join them in their partner pavilion, it was an easy answer for us. So we're looking forward to spending time with Alert Logic and at the show in general.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Chris, is this the first time Navisight is, or that you know of anyway, that Navisight is exhibiting on the show floor?
We did exhibit with Alert Logic last year. It was they didn't have as extensive of a pavilion as it sounds like they're going to have this year. So this will be a bigger stage for us, and we're looking forward to it. We've certainly always sent people to attend, but it'll be the biggest exhibition that we do there.
Good for you. Great. That sounds great. So, Chris, before we get started, in case any of our listeners don't know who Navisight is, can you give us a quick kind of elevator pitch?
Sure. So Navisight's been around since 1998, or as some of our folks are fond of saying, turn of the century, providing managed hosting and managed application services to a variety of customers. Started, as so many did, in the colo space and slowly worked our way up the stack through acquisitions and just normal evolution to deliver managed hosting solutions, co-location, as well as managed applications such as messaging, PeopleSoft, Oracle Financials, things like that. In the last 3-4 years, we along with the rest of the industry, jumped on the cloud bandwagon and started out and built a compute cloud, initially designed to be self-service for customers, but it ended up becoming really the backbone of a lot of other things we've done. So we've kind of ridden the cloud wave, and we're enjoying that. But it's been a great run for us. We've got lots of happy customers, lots of diligent and dedicated employees. So it's a great place to work. I've been here now 4 or 5 years, and truly some of the best people I've ever met are working with me.
Fantastic. So Chris, Navisight, like many companies in your space, are sort of, I don't want to say transitioning, but they have a foot in both worlds. As a traditional hosting provider, and you know, whether it be colo or managed services, and as a cloud provider providing, you know, cloud services to folks. But both of them really talk about or involve core infrastructure services that you provide. Strip away the names, whether we call it cloud or hosting. What talk about the core infrastructure services that Navisight provides.
Oh, and you're absolutely correct. It's when we talk about cloud, it is more of an evolution, and it's just a different form factor for the core solutions that we provide. At the end of the day, Navisight is here because we have a lot of customers who want to focus on their core business. Banks want to do banking. Hospitals want to provide patient care. Nobody really wants to run data centers. No one really wants to deal with the drudgery of keeping servers up and running backups and replacing failed hard drives and that kind of thing. And that's fundamentally what Navisight does. So from a managed hosting perspective, we'll provide servers, either physical or virtual, and we can manage up to the operating system for you. If you want us to manage particular applications on there as well, we'll go all the way up the stack to provide you, on a per user basis, things like Exchange or Oracle Financials or PeopleSoft or any other number of applications, so that our customers can focus on whatever their core business is instead of worrying about the IT aspects of it. And one of the real benefit we found for our customers is that everyone wants to enter the stack at a different place. We It's a very common scenario for a customer to come to us and say, we just want managed hosting from you, and our people will handle all the OS patching and the app management. Okay, that's fine. Happy to do that, physical or virtual, and quite honestly, it's usually a mix. As much as we like cloud and as much as we enjoy the efficiencies of it, there's still an awful lot of applications out there that just need to be running on physical. And so we, you know, we are able to do both, but many customers will come to us and start with just basically getting that infrastructure as a service from us, and they'll manage the apps. They'll manage their own Active Directory. And then as time goes on, they get a little bit more comfortable and they say, well, How about you guys do the patch management and the antivirus for these servers so that our people can focus on more of the line of business apps? And, okay, and which is fine. And we, and inevitably, as time goes on, Navisite will take on more and more of kind of that, you know, the rote, simple management tasks. And companies are able to let their employees do much more industry-specific work and be able to deliver more value that is specific to their organization. Now, no one has ever gone to one hospital over another because they had a better email system. But if we, if Navisite can provide, you know, the email for a hospital, then the employees of that hospital can focus on how to better enable their applications to be, you know, to provide a better environment than the hospital across the street.
Sure. You know, Chris, as we spoke about before this, we started recording, I have a long history in managed services, hosting, infrastructure management and stuff as well. Actually, and there is a Navisite connection, but, you know, we used to describe it as people do not outsource to a Navisite something that is core and critical to their business, but they will outsource something that's critical but not core to their business, or obviously something that's not critical nor core that they outsource. So the email for the hospital, for instance, you know what, it is critical to a hospital today because so many people communicate via email, but it's not, hospitals aren't in the email business, they're in the health business, or we like to think so anyway. And so it's good, it's all good with that.
Absolutely.
Sure. So, Chris, let me ask you a question then, though. You guys are providing a bunch of different infrastructure services. You know, in the cloud, for instance, it's you know, some people call it IaaS, right? Infrastructure as a service. You provide total managed services of servers or managed security, et cetera. Are there different profiles for customers for each of these different kinds of infrastructure services that you offer?
There are, and I think it really hits on, you know, your earlier comment about the core versus critical services. So a lot of people will come to us for email because email, it's not a differentiator. The larger organizations will come to us for a specific application or for test dev. You know, maybe they'll just do Oracle financials, or they'll have us do managed hosting for, in the case of a hospital, maybe just, you know, the radiology department needs someplace to park a lot of their archived images, things like that. So the larger organizations tend to come to us, you know, bits and pieces. But what cloud has really enabled is the smaller companies, the up and coming ones, the, I don't know if we still call them .coms because that sort of has a, you know, a dirty ring to it. But many SaaS providers we work with, and we provide everything for them. And, you know, the SaaS providers, they've got a small office somewhere and they've got really smart people coding up an application to maximize, you know, bank loans or insurance tables or something like that, and we provide all the infrastructure for them. So it does tend to be the smaller companies or more importantly the newer companies that are more likely to outsource their critical applications to us because they don't want to be in the hosting business.
Sure.
The Fortune 500s already have a data center, already have a huge IT staff. So they'll slowly hand out bits to us as they're dealing with shrinking budgets and growing demands. But for the most part, it does seem to be based on both size of the company as well as, I don't want to say age, but maybe maturity or just the overall mindset of the company.
Sure, some things never change. And Chris, you can't call them dot-coms. You just sound old. But so do I, so don't worry about it. So Chris, let's move over a little bit if we can and talk about security. And you know, everyone wants to talk about it. No one wants to pay for it. But in terms of expectations from your customers in terms of security, right, what do they expect you as the infrastructure provider to do versus what do they see as their own responsibility? And then what's Navisite rolling out in terms of both kind of built-in security versus security services you offer?
Well, and I think you have to, you know, break it down into security versus regulatory compliance. You've been in the industry long enough to know that there are some people that want to check a box that says they're secure, and then there are the people that actually want to be secure. So we certainly have our share of both. We work with companies in lots of verticals, so we've had to deal with, you know, PCI and HIPAA and NIST and FISMA and, you know, the whole alphabet soup of regulations. But we've got a decent sized staff of people who will sit down with a customer and say, okay, you want to have a managed hosting environment, you're a healthcare provider, you know, here is the HIPAA regulations, here's high tech, let's go through the list and I'll do this one, you do that one, because we can't do all of them. For there are parts of these regulations that will specify things like screensavers have to come on PCs within 15 minutes. Well, if we're not managing the desktops, I can't do anything for that. So we make a point of sitting down with the customer and going through that long process of assigning who is going to take responsibility for each reg, and then we document it, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the way we've always done it. But what we're seeing again with the whatever young people call the dot-coms is this expectation that Navisite or any service provider is just going to handle it. And I don't know if it's because of the way cloud has been marketed, or maybe it's just that, maybe it's this overall trend of user-driven IT where people are comfortable putting things out in the cloud. People are just are comfortable putting their core applications. Yesterday I was working on my taxes, TurboTax on my iPad. Very sensitive information, personal information. I'm putting out in the cloud. I'm putting on this little device that I carry around and could honestly leave in a cab. But I've grown to accept that, the cloud, TurboTax, whomever, is going to keep my data secure. And so that's the expectation of customers now. And what that has done for us is, in the past, when we would work with a customer, say, building an Exchange environment, one of the boxes that we would check during the solutioning of it would say, okay, are you going to have sensitive information in this? If so, we need to encrypt this, and we need to secure that, and it's going to cost an extra 50 cents a mailbox, whatever that ends up being. People don't want to have that cafeteria style anymore. People just assume anything you put up in the cloud, it's going to be secure. It's going to be redundant. You're not going to keep my data just in one data center or just on one hard drive. It's going to be in multiple places. So the challenge for providers like me and my competitors is that we have to build out increasingly robust solutions, increasingly secure solutions, at the same time that prices are going down, and we still need to be able to arm our sales team with enough information so that when a customer says, well, I can get cloud storage at Amazon for 6 cents, we need to explain why ours is better, more redundant, et cetera, and that kind of thing. But the expectation is there. And I think it's really due to Apple and Android and people just coming to accept that their stuff is going to be in the cloud. That's this new generation doesn't even think about the choice between do I build my own data center or do I put it out in the cloud. They just put it out in the cloud, and the assumption is that it's going to be secure. They don't want to pay more for a secure cloud. They just want all of it to be secure.
Yeah. You know, Chris, as I spoke to you before, I hear what you're saying, and I've seen it firsthand over the years. I sometimes wonder whether people have an expectation of security in the cloud, or they just frankly don't care as much. They just, you know, maybe it goes to the same thing as privacy. If you have no expectation of privacy of anything you put online, you're not upset when your private information is exposed. And a lot of, I don't want to say young people, but, you know, newer companies coming out who kind of have that attitude, I don't know, maybe it's the future. Who knows?
Well, it's, and yes, I think the newer companies, they don't, you know, I hate to sound like the get off my lawn guy.
I hear you.
But, yeah, maybe it's, you know, the newer companies, they don't have that same expectation of security, that same expectation of privacy. But you know what? Their lawyers do, and their customers do.
Absolutely.
And so that's where if I'm working with a company that makes a Facebook application that or a game or something like that, they're not going to have as much of an expectation. They'll throw it on the cloud, and if information gets leaked, okay, so be it. But if someone comes to me and they're storing medical records, well, now, they've got an awful lot of incentive to make sure that that's secure.
Absolutely. And so we talk again about, you know, compliance being the gun to the head of people. Is that what's driving security? And in your background with PCI and everything, it's the same thing. So as much as people complain about compliance, it's enforcing some minimal, and in some cases more than minimal, security awareness.
It's really, and I think it is up to the IT professionals, people like you who have a voice in the industry, to make sure that people are aware we have to do security because there are bad guys out there. And RSA is a great show for that. I make a point of always scheduling a session where I know they're just going to scare the bejesus out of me. But you know, there are bad guys out there. Personally, I can't tell you how many times my credit card company has sent me a new card with a new number, and they say we lost it.
They might have lost your number. You know what? Join the club, Chris. Amen. And talking about scaring the besiegers, I don't know if you saw this Mandiant report that came out yesterday.
I did.
That'll scare you.
It's one thing to worry about teenagers in their mom's basement, and I certainly don't want to diminish that. Those groups have done some interesting things. Actually, some of the social activism of Anonymous is interesting to me. I haven't made up my mind, how good or how bad it is. But when you have, if the Mandiant report is to be believed. That's actually terrifying.
In terms of can you believe it or not? Geez, they seem to have a lot of proof there. They've connected the dots pretty well. But I mean, I'm sure it'll be great fodder for this year's RSA show.
Yeah, Chris, the first thing I thought when that report came out was, oh, they timed it to get buzz in
the week before. Yeah, go ahead.
And I haven't looked yet at the speaker list, but I got to assume that someone from Mandiant has a key session.
You know, I didn't look either, but like you said, it is RSA season, and wasn't it last year? I mean, McAfee was good for this every year, right? They'd come up with some insidious plot for security doom right before RSA. Operation Aurora a couple years ago, the first APTs and all that. But we'll come back to RSA in a second, Chris. I wanted to talk specifically a little, and we're running way over already, but what the heck. I want to talk specifically in your job role at Navisite, Chris. How do you identify sort of what's next, what you need to prioritize for security? And once you do so, how do you go about evaluating solutions to fill that need?
So, you know, security, we try not to think of it as a separate product. We obviously want to build it into everything we do. Again, speaking to the way that it's just becoming expected. So what does evolve, though, is the level of security and the types of security that we need to have on various products. So it used to be that if you just did, encryption of data in transit and encryption of data on backup tapes, okay, that's good enough. But what we're seeing now is people want, there's more of a need for encryption when it's at rest sitting in my data center. Or the other big one lately has been a lot of auditability, which is just a huge issue for service providers like myself who provide a multi-tenant environment, and customers want to be able to audit down to the network switch, their environment. And if that network switch is shared with four other customers, that becomes a very real issue for me. The way that we pick security solutions or the products first is that we do look at the portfolio. What are the common needs? Last year, we rolled out a desktop as a service product that's done very well for us. And we had long conversations with our compliance team, with some of our referenceable customers, and as well as vendors and a couple others, talking about what security do you actually need for a desktop as a service platform. It's because companies traditionally have one set of regulations for here's how they protect laptops, but a lot of those just don't apply. One of the first customers that we talked to said, well, our policy is that all desktops have to have the hard drive encrypted. So that should be a requirement for desktop as a service. And we sat down and talked to them and said, okay, well, you have your hard drive encrypted on your laptop, because if you leave the laptop in an airport or it gets stolen, then you don't want people to be able to get to it. But with desktop as a service, that hard drive never leaves my data center, which is surrounded by armed guards, cameras, biometric locks, all kinds of other things. That hard drive is not disappearing. So is that really a requirement? There are conversations you have to have there. But once we determine the products we need, we have a process where we'll sit down with vendors and it's not as formal as an RFP process, but just sit down with some of our key vendors, talk to analysts, figure out who's good in those particular spaces, and try to evaluate what are the right solutions for us. Some of the criteria that we look for, we want the solutions to be flexible. One thing that we've learned in 15 years is that there is no one-size-fits-all solution. We want them to be scalable. We want them, we increasingly are looking for automation, because customers are expecting things to get turned up much faster. We did a lot of work with Alert Logic in the last year with their IDS product, where we used to put out physical taps and they'd send us an appliance and we'd bolt it into our rack, and that worked very well. Great product, but you're still talking about a week and people, oh my God, physically plugging in cables. What we do with them now in our virtual environments is they have virtual taps. It's an agent that runs, and we can hit a few buttons and deploy it to a whole environment in a matter of minutes. So we're looking for that kind of automation, because we do deal with a lot of enterprise customers, we still do want to make sure that the solutions we deploy are certified by somebody bigger than us. That's where we look to, like, the FIPS 140 list for anything that does encryption, or just a general certification. Because if a customer comes to me and says, how do I know that my data is secure with you? If I say it's secure, then that's okay. That's Chris at Navisite saying it. But if I can turn around and say, all right, we are using ASA firewalls and, you know, with version 8.1 of the code, and here's where it is on the FIPS 140 list that says, you know, it's secure if implemented in this way, and here's how we implemented it. And they'll say, oh, okay, on to the next one, you know. So it's about getting that mix of scalability, automation, but it still has to be, you know, enterprise class as designated by someone who the industry generally accepts.
Sure, sure. Hey, Chris, we are so far over our time here. We're 25 minutes, but I do have one last question, kind of bring a full circle back to what you said in the beginning. You know, RSA Conference is the world's biggest security show. You've been to many of them. This is Navisite's probably biggest presence on the show floor in the Alert Logic Partner Pavilion. What do you guys hope to accomplish at the show? At the conference?
We're looking primarily just to, you know, get our name out. We want to support Alert Logic. They've been a great partner for us. Done lots of innovative things with them and want to kind of show the love there. But again, learning industry trends. Last year was really interesting to me in that for years it had been people, the focus was how do you keep your data secure within your environment? How do you keep it from leaking out? Last year was the year that every single presenter threw their hands up in the air and said, you know, bring your own devices real. The data is going to get out. So how do we secure it outside? So I like seeing the trends, and yeah, I've certainly got my shopping list of things that I want to look for while I'm out there. But it's a good show, and it's, you know, mostly being in a room with a lot of other really smart people, some of whom are facing the same problems, some are facing slightly different ones, and you can talk to lots of folks, and it gives you ideas on how we can solve things in our particular environment. So looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Chris Patterson, Vice President of Product Management at Navisite, thanks for being today's guest on security.exe. Have a great RSA, Chris. I hope to meet you in person out there, and enjoy the show, and thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, wait, Chris, real quick, if people want to get more information about Navisite, where can they go?
www.navisite.com.
That's fantastic. This is Alan Schimmel for security.exe with Chris Patterson of Navisite.